الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger.
We would like to begin our talk this evening, the first in that which we hope will be a series of lectures covering the aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We hope, بإذن الله وتوفيقه, with the permission of Allah and with success from Allah, that we will be able to complete the reading and explanation of the very famous book of Islamic Aqeedah that has come to be known throughout the Muslim world as the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and it is entitled Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyyah. This book, inshaAllah, is a summary of the Islamic belief system as it is held by the people of Sunnah, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Before beginning the reading of this book, we would like to make some introductory remarks. The first of them, the definition of Al-Aqeedah, and what is the subject that Al-Aqeedah deals with or is comprised of, the topic that it covers in general, and what are some of the names that have been used by the people of Sunnah to refer to Al-Aqeedah Al-Islamiyyah. Additionally, we would like to define this term Ahlu Al-Sunnah Wal-Jama'ah. What is the meaning of Ahlu Sunnah Wal-Jama'ah? And what are some of the other names that are used to refer to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? As well, we would like to mention some of the distinguishing characteristics of this Islamic system of belief, the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What are some of its distinguishing characteristics? And also, what are some of the important and distinguishing characteristics of the people who believe in this Aqeedah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? These points, inshaAllah, will be the foundation of our lectures for the next few months, inshaAllah, weekly, on this very same day of the week and this very same time between Al-Maghrib wal Isha. And we ask Allah for His help and success. And we also remind ourselves that the seeking of knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. Every Muslim, male or female. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. The seeking of knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. And this obligation requires a great effort on our part to go out and seek out the knowledge in order that we might understand this deen of Islam and worship Allah properly. And it also requires, in addition to an effort, it requires sincere intention. So it is important that we remind ourselves tonight and whenever we meet that our intention is to seek the knowledge of the deen of Allah in order to implement it in our lives. We are seeking this knowledge for the pleasure of Allah in order to worship Him as He commanded that we worship Him in accordance with the sunnah of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first point of our introduction is the definition of al-aqidah and what does al-aqidah deal with. We can say in brief, linguistically, al-aqidah, it is from the word al-aqd. It means binding or clinging or tightening something, confirming a matter. Linguistically, it means to tie or to bind something. And this word up is also used in our worldly affairs when someone makes an agreement with another person. They say they make a contract with him, something that is binding between them, that they have agreed upon and they are tied to it. In the technical language, in the religious terminology, al-aqidah, it means that confirmed faith or conviction that doesn't allow any doubt to come upon it, upon the person who believes in that thing or has faith in it. And this definition, this technical definition, it is applicable to that conviction or belief which is true, as well as that conviction or belief which is false. The false belief is called aqidah, as well as the true belief, it is also called aqidah. Al-aqidah al-islamiyah, the real, the true and proper aqidah, it is the firm and unwavering conviction, faith or belief in Allah. And that which is obligatory on the human being to have faith in, to acknowledge and to recognize in reference to Allah's uluhiyyah, His yani divinity, that Allah alone yani has the right to be worshipped, as well as His rububiyyah, that He alone is the Rabb, the Lord, the Creator, the one who gives life and death, the one who owns and controls everything in the universe, in addition to the acknowledgement or the recognition that Allah alone is entitled to be called by or to be described by the most perfect names and characteristics of perfection that belong to Him exclusively. These three aspects of the acknowledgement of Allah are usually referred to as the Tawheed of Allah's Rububiyyah, His Lordship, Uluhiyyah, His Divinity or right to be worshipped, and His Asma wa Sifat, His perfect and divine names and characteristics. Additionally, Al-Aqidah Islamiyah also deals with the faith or the belief in the angels, the malaika, the angels of Allah, and all that the Quran or the Sunnah has informed us about concerning those angels, their names, their ranks, their responsibilities, their numbers, and so on. In addition to the firm conviction in the book or the revelation, the divine scriptures that were revealed throughout the ages to man up until the revelation of the final book, Al-Qur'an. It also deals with the conviction or belief in the messengers or prophets that have been sent to every nation throughout the earth, from the first prophet Adam alayhi salam, the first man, until the last of the prophets and messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It deals with the belief in the last day, the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, the day of accounting, when all of what one has done in this world will be brought forth, whether great or small, and we will be called to account for it. It deals with the divine decree, Al-Qadr, Wal-Qadha, that which Allah has decreed to be from the beginning of time, whether it is of the good or otherwise. It also includes everything that has come to us through the authentic sources of Quran or Sunnah related to the fundamentals of the deen, usuluddin. All of the fundamentals of the deen that have come to us in the authentic and reliable sources, either through the Quran or the authentic, true and correct hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as those matters related to the unseen, and those things of the past nations, reports or information about the past nations, as well as that which will happen in the future. All of this is part of the subject of Al-Aqidah Al-Islamiyah, as well as that which is agreed upon by consensus of the righteous or pious predecessors, the early generations of the Muslims, primarily the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their students, the Tabi'un, and their students who came after them from amongst the Imams and otherwise. Additionally, we can say that part of Al-Aqidah Al-Islamiyah is total willing compliance and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which He has ruled to be, that which He has ordered us with, that which He has decreed or legislated. All of this is part of Al-Aqidah, as well as those things which have come to us of the legislation and laws and rules from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and obedience to him and his judgment and following him. You can say this is a brief description of Al-Aqidah Al-Islamiyah. Al-Aqidah Al-Islamiyah, as a science that is to be studied, that is to be researched and known, part of the knowledge that every Muslim is required to seek after, this Aqidah as a science, as it was understood by the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, includes a number of topics. It includes Tawheed, which we already discussed in its various aspects. It includes Al-Iman, faith. It includes Al-Islam. It includes the unseen matters, the matters related to prophethood, divine decree, the reports of the previous nations, and those indisputable, absolute rules or principles or foundations of the religion, as well as those necessary matters concerning the refutation of the people of innovation and deviation, and the refutation of the falsehood, false beliefs of other ways of life or other religions or schools of thought, and so on. Some of the names that have been used and commonly accepted amongst the people of Sunnah, the people who follow strictly the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow the manhaj or the methodology of his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Besides al-aqidah, there are other names that the people of Sunnah have used to refer to this knowledge or this science. And one of those names is at-tawheed. At-tawheed is used generally to refer to al-aqidah, to the whole of the Islamic belief system, because at-tawheed deals with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His uniqueness in His right to divinity and to be worshipped and His names and characteristics. And this is the most honored and the most important of all the aspects of al-aqidah, at-tawheed. Although also included in aqidah, as we said, is the belief and the knowledge about the angels and the prophets and the revelation. But the most important aspect of al-aqidah is at-tawheed. And so we found that many of the scholars used to refer to al-aqidah by this name. Generally, they used to refer to al-aqidah by the word at-tawheed. And some examples of that is the Kitab al-Tawheed, that is one of the books in the Sahih of al-Bukhari. He named one of the books in his Sahih, in the collection of Sahih al-Bukhari, one of the chapters is called Kitab al-Tawheed. And in that chapter he deals with matters of al-Aqidah, but he used the word al-Tawheed here to refer to al-Aqidah. Also, Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah wrote a book called Kitab al-Tawheed wa Ithbat Sifat al-Rabb, the book of Tawheed and the confirmation or affirmation of the characteristics of the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that book is dealing with al-Aqidah. And there are so many examples of this title or this expression being used to refer to al-aqidah. Additionally, the word or the expression as-sunnah is used to refer to al-aqidah islamiyah. As-sunnah here, it means al-tariqah or the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is used to refer to the aqidah of the early generations of the Muslims, the aqidah of the Salaf. Because that aqidah was in conformity or in accord or in agreement with the belief of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his way, his tariqah, so they call the aqidah as sunnah. And there are many examples of books of the early scholars of the Muslims that they named as sunnah, kitab as sunnah, written by Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, as well as Kitab al-Sunnah by his son Abdullah, Sharh al-Sunnah by Imam al-Barbahari, and so many other examples that we can find using the expression al-Sunnah to refer to al-Aqidah. Another of the expressions that's used to refer to al-Aqidah is Usul al-Din, Usul al-Din. Many of the scholars, when they said Usul al-Din, they meant al-Aqidah. Because Usul al-Din, it means the fundamental principles, the foundations of the religion. And the foundations of the religion is the Islamic belief system. It is the most important aspect of the religion before the secondary. Furu', usul means foundations, and al-furu' means the secondary thing. And that's normally referred to the Islamic jurisprudence of fiqh. But the fundamental is the aqidah. So many of the scholars use this word, usul al-din, and they named so many books of aqidah using this type of expression in the title of their books, like Al-Ibana, Ala Usul al-Diyana, by Abu Hatim al-Ash'ari, one of the great famous books of al-Aqidah and one of the great scholars of the Muslim Ummah, who before he came to the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah had some strange deviant beliefs that many people who ascribe themselves to him, al-Ash'ari Aqidah, they ascribe themselves to him holding on to those beliefs that he earlier held and then discarded before he came to the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But Al-Imam Abu Hasan Al-Ash'ari actually wrote a book in the end of his life, and that book described his final belief, and that belief was the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And he named that book Al-Ibana An Usul Al-Diyana Wa Ala Usul Al-Diyana. And there are also many examples of the scholars naming their books with the use of this name. Another famous expression that is used for Al-Aqidah is Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. And this Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, the greatest fiqh, or the greatest understanding, it is similar in meaning to Usuluddin. It means the greatest fiqh, it means the fundamentals or the foundations of the religion, or the great understanding, the matters that are more important, understanding of those matters, that is the fundamentals of the deen, the aqidah. And this is, يعني, in contradiction, or not in contradiction, but it is, يعني, in comparison to al-fiqh al-asghar, or the smaller fiqh, or the lesser fiqh or understanding, which refers to the matters of jurisprudence, or those rulings that the scholars made ijtihad in and came to conclusions that are today compiled in the books of Islamic jurisprudence. And also another title that's used is al-Sharia, al-Sharia. And here the use of this word is meant to refer to that which Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have legislated of those matters of guidance for the Muslim Ummah. Al-Sharia refers to the matters of guidance for the Muslim Ummah, what has been legislated. And the greatest of those things which have been legislated are the fundamentals of the religion, Al-Aqidah. And there are also many of the scholars who use such a title to refer to their books of Al-Aqidah. These are some of the names that have been widespread and well known amongst the people of Sunnah to refer to the knowledge of the Islamic belief system, Al-Aqidah Al-Islamiyah. There are also other names that were used by the people other than Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the most famous, perhaps, of those titles that they use for Al-Aqidah is Ilm Al-Kalam. Ilm Al-Kalam. يعني the knowledge of al-kalam. I don't know how to translate ilm al-kalam, but al-kalam, as you know, means speech. And perhaps it is fitting that they name the aqidah ilm al-kalam, as they used to talk so much in their theorizing and debating and arguing and disputing the matters of al-aqidah. So it is fitting that their so much talking should have been, يعني, that their aqidah should have been identified by this characteristic of theirs, al-kalam, too much talking. And also, philosophy and falsafa is used by some of the Muslims to refer to al-aqidah. In that, in fact, instead of relying on the Quran and Sunnah, they have used philosophy as a basis or a foundation for their explanation and interpretation of the Islamic aqidah. And unfortunately, even some of the Muslims use such titles as metaphysics to refer to al-aqidah, as the kuffar use to refer to their understanding or their explanation of those things that are يعني, as they say, behind nature or whatever. So we can say Al-Aqidah is an expression that's used to refer to that which we believe in and we have conviction in of the fundamentals of the religion. Even if those beliefs that the person holds is incorrect or false, it may be referred to as aqidah. Even if those beliefs have no basis in rational argument nor in proofs from the revelation, it may be referred to as al-aqidah. Verily, for sure, al-aqidah, it has a correct understanding. The correct understanding of al-aqidah, it means the truth. This is the real application of al-aqidah. And this is the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and it is based on the Qur'an and the confirmed sunnah or sayings and practices and approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the consensus of the early generations of the Muslims. Just as al-aqidah has a correct understanding, it also has an incorrect or false understanding. And that aqidah, the false aqidah, it is whatever any belief that the people hold which are in contradiction or contrary to that which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as the expression ad-deen has two applications, the deen that is sahih or correct and the deen that is incorrect. But both are referred to as deen. The false religion of the Christians, of the Jews, of the Buddhists, of Hindus, the false ways of philosophy, the false systems of theory of communism, socialism, capitalism, all of these things may be referred to as a deen in that the people believe in them. And we may call them the aqidah or the deen of those people. So just as deen refers to both the false way as well as the true way, so also aqidah may refer to false aqidah as well as true aqidah. In fact, and properly, al-aqidah islamiyya, this expression should only be used to refer to the beliefs and the convictions and the methodology of implementing the religion that was held by the people of Sunnah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because this aqidah, really, it is Islam, it is the deen that Allah is pleased with, that Allah has revealed to us and He has legislated for us. Any other aqidah, it should be examined in light of the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba and the early generations of the Muslims. And that which is in agreement with what they held, then it is considered to be part of al-aqidah al-islamiyya. And that which is in contradiction or in conflict with the beliefs of the early generations of the Muslims should be rejected and not be considered a part of the Islamic aqidah, even though the people who hold those beliefs are Muslims. The second definition that we want to discuss, which is very important, is the definition of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is an expression that is used by many people. Perhaps most of the Muslims in the world refer to themselves as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In fact, strangely enough, it was said recently in these past few days that there was a discussion between two Muslims and one of them tried to convince the other one that the term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is general, including all Muslims, and even we should be careful to exclude, or we should refrain from excluding the Sufiya and Shia. We shouldn't exclude them from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah because some of them are not as bad as others. No doubt, this is going a little too far in stretching the definition of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because even if we accept that some of the people who follow the Sufi practices and hold the Sufi beliefs, even if we accept that some of them, their beliefs are closer to the correct aqidah and their practices are not so far from the sunnah, even if we accept that, for sure we cannot include the Shia. No way we can include the least or the worst of the Shia as part of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We might say that this term Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah could be applicable in its broadest definition to all Muslims who are not from the Shia. Yani anyone who is not from Shia, we may say they are from Sunnah. It's possible to use such an application of the expression Ahlul Sunnah. Although the reality of the matter is that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if we know what is the real definition of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and what are the characteristics of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then we will know that these people in fact should not be included in this category or under this title of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And for this reason, we want to discuss at least briefly the definition that some of the scholars have given to us for this expression, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, its linguistic definition as well as its technical definition in the religion of Islam, as well as some of the distinguishing characteristics of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As-Sunnah, linguistically, it means al-Tariqa or al-Sira. As-Sunnah means al-Tariqa, the way, or al-Sira, which is similar, يعني, someone's manners or their way of life or their lifestyle. In the technical meaning, as-Sunnah, it means the guidance that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to us, and that pattern of conduct which he displayed and exemplified, as well as that which we found being exemplified by his companions, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including their knowledge or belief, their sayings and their actions, the manner or the behavior patterns of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his guidance, his actions, his speech, his beliefs, all of this is included in the technical meaning of as-Sunnah. And this is the Sunnah which it is obligatory on us to follow, and that the people who follow it are praised for following this Sunnah, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the people who contradict it or oppose it are blamed for opposing this Sunnah. The expression Sunnah, as we mentioned on other occasions, also has many other meanings, and from amongst those meanings, the meaning of Sunnah is the opposite of Farz. The Sunnah is sometimes used in the jurisprudence to refer to that which is not obligatory. And Farz or wajib is that which is obligatory, and sunnah is that which is not obligatory. This is one of the meanings of sunnah. Sunnah also is used to mean the opposite of bid'ah. When you want to say something is not bid'ah, innovation, you say it is sunnah. This is sunnah, not bid'ah. Bid'ah refers to that which has no basis in the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sunnah is that which is based on the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah also is used sometimes to refer to that which is not in the Quran, yani that guidance or that proof or that evidence that didn't come from the Quran. We say this came from the Quran and this came from the Sunnah, meaning it's from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his actions or his approval. These are some of the meanings of Sunnah, and of course, as Sunnah, as we discussed in our previous lectures concerning Aqidah, Sunnah also means al-aqidah, as it was used by Imam Ahmed in his book, Usul Sunnah, the fundamentals of the Sunnah, meaning the fundamentals of the Islamic aqidah. So here, the technical meaning of Sunnah, it means the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, his saying, his actions, as well as his beliefs. As for the word al-jama'ah, al-jama'ah, linguistically, it means coming together, the opposite of breaking up or separating. And al-jama'ah, it means it is used to apply to a group of people who come together and collect themselves based on some common point of agreement. You say this is the jama'ah. This jama'ah, yani, those people who are in agreement with a certain matter, whether it's business, political, social, or whatever. You can call those people who came together on a certain point jama'ah, linguistically. In the technical language, al-jama'ah, it refers first and foremost to the first generation of the Muslims, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are first and foremost al-jama'ah. The first jama'ah, the first group of Muslims was the companions, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, as well as the tabi'een, the students of the companions, and those who followed them and their way, also can be included in that definition, in the technical definition of al-jama'ah, because they are the people who collected themselves together, who gathered themselves based on a common point, their agreement with the Qur'an and their agreement with the sunnah and the following of the way of the imam, the rightly guided imam of the Muslim ummah. So whoever followed this way, even after the early generation, up until our day, then they also be included in the technical definition of al-jama'ah. From this we can understand that the meaning of Ahlul Sunnah wal-jama'ah, if we understand the meaning of these two words, then we will know that Ahlul Sunnah wal-jama'ah, it means those people who stick firmly and cling to and hold tightly to the way or the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that way, as we mentioned, includes not only his sayings and actions, but it also includes his beliefs. Those who followed him strictly, and those who avoided that which is in contradiction to his way, no matter in what land they may be, and what time in history they came, those people are considered Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as long as they stuck to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all matters, in belief and practice, and the way of his companions and those who followed their way, and those people will remain, as has been promised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until the day of judgment. There will remain some people on this way, and they are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Also, we might mention here that we don't mean by al-jama'ah simply the group of people in general from amongst the Muslim ummah. Whenever there is a group of people, they are al-jama'ah according to the linguistic definition. We don't just mean any group of people who call themselves Muslims, that they are the jama'ah that we refer to when we say Ahlul Sunnah wal-jama'ah, even if they are the majority. As long as those people didn't come together and agree upon the truth, the right way, the sunnah, and the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, no matter what their number are, they are not considered the jama'ah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, even if they are the majority. Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that those people who would be supported or helped or aided by Allah up until the Day of Judgment, الطائفة المنصورة, that group of people who Allah would give His help to, that they are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that they would be one group from amongst the 73 groups that the Muslim Ummah would be divided into. So we don't necessarily expect that because any group of people are the majority, that they are the jama'ah. They might not be the majority. The jama'ah might not be the majority, but in fact they are one group from amongst the 73 groups or sects that the Muslim ummah would be divided into, as it has been recorded authentically from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تفترق اليهود على 71 فرقة أو 72 فرقة والنصارى مثل ذلك وتفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة. That the Jews would be divided into 71 or 72 sects or divisions, and the Christians likewise would be divided into so many sects, and my ummah, that is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be divided into 73. From this, we know that not all of the people who call themselves Muslims are those people who are really following the Sunnah, that group that would be supported and that group that would be saved from the hellfire because they followed the correct methodology and the manners and the ways and the beliefs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, some of the other names that the people who followed the correct way and held the correct beliefs are known by. Sometimes this expression is used, Ahlu as-Sunnah. That is, without mentioning al-Jama'ah. Sometimes we might refer to the people who are following the correct guidance as Ahlu Sunnah. And sometimes we might use this expression alone, al-Jama'ah, without saying Ahlu Sunnah. And both of these are of those proper names that are used to refer to the people of correct guidance. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another narration of the previous hadith which we just mentioned, in another narration of that hadith, he said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ تَتَفْتَرِكْ عَلَى 71 فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً. That this ummah will be divided into 71 sects, and all of them, كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ, all of those sects will be in the fire, إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً, except one, here al-jama'ah. That one which would not be in the fire is al-jama'ah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, that hadith was reported by Ibn Abi Asim in his book As-Sunnah, and it was declared to be sahih by Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani in his checking of that book. So here in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to the people on the correct way, or the people who would be saved, as al-jama'ah. Also, another expression that is commonly used, although usually misunderstood, is as-salaf as-salih. As-salaf as-salih. And this expression is used to refer to the Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And the great scholars of the Muslim Ummah use this expression, just as our scholars today continue to use this expression. And as-salaf as-salih, linguistically it means the righteous predecessors. The salaf is those who came before us, and as-salih means righteous. So our righteous predecessors are the first, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. They came before us, and then those who came after them, whoever followed their way, even up until today. As well, the expression Ahlu al-Athar, that means the people who followed the Athar, or that which was transmitted to us, the Sunnah that was transmitted to us from the Prophet ﷺ and his Sahaba. We are also referred to as Ahlu al-Hadith, Ahlu al-Hadith, the people of Hadith. They are the people who take from the Sunnah, or the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, studying the narrations that were reported from him, narrating them, memorizing them, as well as trying to understand their meanings that they may be applied in their lives. They follow this guidance that came from the hadith from the way of the Prophet ﷺ, that which has been reported of his sunnah, and therefore they are referred to as Ahlul Hadith. Also, Al-Ta'ifa Al-Mansura, that is that group which would be aided or helped in this world, and Al-Firqa Al-Najiya, or that group which would be saved, which would escape from the fire in the next life. These people, or these expressions, are also used to refer to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And these terms are commonly used amongst the earlier scholars as well as the contemporary scholars of the people of Sunnah. And also, finally, of those names that are acceptable to be used for the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is Ahlul Al-Ittiba'ah, the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are called also Ahlul Al-Ittiba'ah, because they follow the reports or narrations or ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their outward appearance as well as in their inner being. And they follow strictly the way of the believers, that is, those who came before us from amongst Sahaba and those who came after them. And they follow the instruction or the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said to us in that hadith which is reported authentically, he said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي, that it is incumbent upon you, it is obligatory on you. There's no choice in this matter. عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي, it is obligatory upon you to follow my sunnah or my way, as well as the sunnah of the rightly guided khalif or khulafa, those who came as the leaders of the Muslims after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Follow their sunnah also, and their sunnah obviously is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدْ وَأَيَّاكُمْ وَالْمُحْتَفَاتُ الْعُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِرْعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. So hold on to that sunnah with your teeth, grip tightly to that sunnah, hold it tightly, cling to it, and beware of newly invented matters, for every bid'ah or innovation is dalala, it is astray. And in other narrations he said, and every dalala is in the fire, every going astray is in the fire. So these are some of the names that are used to refer to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this is the definition, the proper definition of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And from this, I think it becomes clear and easy to distinguish those who are really from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and those who are not. Before closing, in these last few moments, I would just like to quickly mention or summarize some of the particular or peculiar or distinguishing characteristics of the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which shows its great value and which calls us to hold on to it and to stick to it. And from amongst those characteristics of Al-Aqidah Al-Islamiyah, or the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that this Aqidah, as opposed to the Aqidah of other groups from amongst the Muslim Ummah who have deviated, it is derived from the sources, or the primary sources of Islam, that is, it is derived from the Qur'an and Sunnah. So it is far away and removed from those foreign influences that came to the Muslim Ummah in the later generations, and it is free from those intellectual or rational arguments that caused the Muslims to deviate, or those deviations that came about because of people following their desires. The Islamic Aqidah, or this correct Aqidah, is derived from the primary sources of Islam, the Quran and Sunnah, and it is far removed from those foreign ideas that came to the Muslim Ummah later. Another of those characteristics of the correct Aqidah, it is, it causes the Muslim who believes in this Aqidah to consider the texts that come from Quran and Sunnah as being very, very great. We don't take the text of Quran and Sunnah lightly. But when someone said this came from Quran and Sunnah, the people who follow this aqidah consider this as being the most important thing. As opposed to others who, if you tell them any matter in aqidah that's contrary to the way they believe, and you use as a proof for what you say something that came from the Quran, from the Book of Allah, or from the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, they consider it to be insignificant. And they refuse to accept what you said, even though it came from the Quran and Sunnah. Whereas the people of this aqidah, when you bring to them any proof from the Quran and Sunnah, they give it a very great status, and they consider it to be of the utmost importance. Another characteristic of this aqidah, which calls us to follow it and stick to it, is that this aqidah ties us and binds us and connects us to as-salaf as-salih, to the righteous predecessors, to the sahaba and the tabi'een and the atba' tabi'een, the early generations of the Muslims who held this very same belief. When we hold this belief, then we are connected to them. And this raises our status and our honor, because we are connected to the most honored of the people, the best of the generations, and the best of people of this ummah, the first generation, the Salaf al-Salih. Also, the fact that the Quran has called to our attention the absolute necessity of sticking to that which the first generations of the Muslims were upon, and avoiding anything other than that. Yani, this aqidah calls us to this idea, as the Quran teaches us, in as Allah mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 1:15, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Whoever opposes the Prophet, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the guidance became clear to them, after it was made clear to them, not while they were in ignorance, but after the revelation came to them, after the proofs were presented to them, then they still oppose the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they followed وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and they followed other than the way of the mu'mineen. And the way of the mu'mineen is the way of the sahaba. When the Quran was revealed, when these ayahs were revealed, غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it didn't mean anyone other than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever opposed the way of the Prophet after it became clear to them, and they followed other than the way of the mu'mineen, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Then Allah turned him to that which he turned himself, or turned them to that which they turned themselves, and caused them to enter the hellfire, and evil is it as a destination. Yani, this is a threat from Allah that encouraged us to follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of the Sahaba, the first generation, and to leave and avoid any way other than the way of the believers. And this aqidah calls us to this and is very firm and strict in this characteristic of the people who accept this aqidah. As well, this aqidah enables the Muslim to be described, or to take on the characteristic which Allah is pleased with, that characteristic that the believer accepts whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given to us, whatever he has ruled for us, even if our intellect, even if our desires or our feelings may tell us otherwise. This characteristic of submitting and complying wholeheartedly without any hesitation or resistance to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us is a characteristic that the person achieves when they follow and believe in this aqidah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That no doubt or no way, by your Lord, Allah is swearing by himself, وَرَبِّكْ, he is swearing by himself that you will never believe, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that they will never have real iman and they would never be believers until they seek ruling and judgment from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any matter about which they differ. Anything that we differ about, we must go only to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we would never have real iman, we would never be really believers until we seek ruling from him only. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتُ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And after he has ruled in any matter, we don't find in ourselves any discomfort or any resistance or any problem with what he has said, but we accept it and submit to it totally and fully. This is what Allah wants from the believer, that when there is any difference in us, that we seek the ruling or the judgment from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Quran and from his sunnah, and when that ruling came to us, we submit to it and accept it wholeheartedly without any resistance or hesitation. This can be achieved by the one who follows this aqidah, al-aqidah al-islamiyyah al-sahihah, the correct Islamic aqidah. And also, of the characteristics of this aqidah is that it enables us to unite the ranks of the Muslims and gather us together in unity, in true unity, because the aqidah of the Quran and the Sunnah, it is in reality, you can say the practical achievement and the correct or authentic response to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. It is based on this aqidah that we are actually able to answer this call, that we are able to implement it in real life, where Allah said, and hold on to the rope of Allah, the Quran, the Sunnah, the Deen of Islam, the truth, all together as a group, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and don't be separated or divided amongst yourselves. It is only based on this aqidah, the people who follow this aqidah, that we are able to achieve such in reality, in real life. No matter if we are in different lands or in different times, whoever we may be from different cultures and different languages, we are able to come together in unity with one another based on this aqidah of the Quran and the Sunnah. And finally, of those characteristics of this aqidah is that it requires of us to hold on to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its totality, without rejecting anything from the Sunnah, and without making any differentiation in accepting the Sunnah in our belief. We don't make any differentiation between that belief or that matter of faith which came in the Sunnah, whether it came from Hadith Mutawatir or Hadith Ahad. Even if that hadith is mutawatir or ahad, we accept it if it was authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unlike the other people who only accept, according to their claim, that belief or that point of creed or faith which is based on hadith mutawatir, a hadith al-mutawatir. But they don't accept that which came from al-ahadith al-ahad. What do we mean by mutawatir al-ahad in brief? We can say that the hadith mutawatir are those hadith which were reported throughout the generations, throughout the different ages, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until they were collected into the books of hadith by many narrators or many reporters in every time period. In every time period, there were many who reported that same hadith, which caused us to believe for sure that it was authentic or it was truly coming from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and removing any doubt that those people could have come together to invent it or plan or conspire to invent something. Yani when that hadith was reported through so many people in the same age and in every age continuously, it was reported by many people, they say that hadith is mutawatir, and they say they accept the aqidah only from hadith mutawatir. But we say we accept our aqidah from hadith which is mutawatir, or even if it's not mutawatir, even if it came from one reporter in any generation, or one reporter in every generation, if the chain of narrators is considered to be authentic by the scholars of hadith, then we accept that point of belief and creed even if it came in any generation or in all the generations, through only one reporter. And this is called Hadith Ahad. So this is also the final characteristic that we wanted to mention of this aqeedah, that we don't reject anything from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it is reported authentically, whether it's mutawatir through many narrators or ahad through one narrator. There's 5 minutes remaining, so perhaps I will quickly mention the last point of our introduction, and actually this point is very important, but I will try, inshallah, to mention it as quickly as possible, so that we can at least finish this point before we leave this evening. Of the most important distinguishing characteristics or identifying qualities of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this also will help us to identify the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We will mention here 12 distinguishing characteristics of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and these help us to know, do we fit into the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and who fits in and who does not fit in. It is not for the purpose of putting someone in or out, but just for the purpose of knowledge, in order to correct ourselves. Inshallah, we'll listen to the adhan, and just take 5 minutes after the adhan to complete. Of the most important characteristics or qualities of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they attach the utmost importance to the Book of Allah by memorization, recitation, and seeking the explanation of the Qur'an and the explanation of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, they submit completely to the religion of Islam, and they make it as their way of life totally, and have faith in all of the Qur'an, the whole of it. They believe in those texts which mention Allah's promise, as well as those which mention His threat, His promise of reward or paradise, and His threat of punishment in the hellfire. They believe in those texts which affirm Allah's attributes, His sifat, or His name, His asma, and those which negate any resemblance between Allah and the creatures, that Allah has any resemblance to anything in the creation. They join or combine between faith in Allah's qadr, yani accepting Allah's qadr or divine decree, as well as affirming the fact that the human being has a will of his own. The fact that Allah has decreed what He has decreed doesn't negate the fact that the human being has a will, a limited free will. And they also combine or reconcile between knowledge and action, yani that is, they not only seek knowledge, but also practice that knowledge that they seek. They adhere to the sunnah and reject the bid'ah or innovation. And they also oppose and reject stay far away from those disagreements in matters of religion that divide the Muslims. They follow the guidance of the well-known, reliable, and trustworthy scholars, namely the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who follow the way of the Sahaba, in matters of belief, action, as well as in matters related to calling to the religion of Allah and calling to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is, the da'wah. They remain firm and clear from those who contradict and oppose the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Far away from those people who contradict or deviate from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They maintain a middle position in matters of belief between the extreme, those who went to either extreme, to the far right or to the left, but they maintain in matters of belief the middle position. While in matters of worship and in conduct, they also adhere to the medium or the middle position between those who go to the extreme beyond the bounds that have been legislated or exhibited in the sunnah, or those who go to the other extreme of neglectfulness, yani neglecting that which Allah has legislated or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They also strive and make every effort to collect the Muslims and join them together and unite them on the truth, and unify the ranks of the Muslim upon Tawheed as our basic principle, Tawheed and Al-Ittiba' or following of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and try to eliminate all causes that lead to arguments and differences and splitting between the Muslims. For this reason, they do not distinguish themselves from the rest of the Muslim in the fundamentals of the religion by using any other name other than Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or those names that have been accepted by the Muslim scholars. Yani, they don't use names that identify them with any sect or any deviation that came later on, but they only use those names as Sunnah al Jama'ah, or those names that came from the Quran or from the Sunnah, Al-Ta'ifa, Al-Mansura, Al-Firqa, Al-Najiyah, and so on. They call others to Allah, and they command the good and forbid the wrong and make jihad and try to revive or give life to the Sunnah that has been lost or have been neglected. They try to revive the deen and to establish Allah's law and Allah's rule in all the matters and all aspects of our life, whether they are major or minor, significant or insignificant. As some people say, some matters of the deen are insignificant. Having a beard or a mustache or wearing your clothes above your ankle, they say these things are insignificant. Using miswak is insignificant. Why should we give attention to such matters? But actually the people of Sunnah give attention to all matters of the deen, whether they are significant or insignificant. They have equity and justice or fairness in dealing with others. And we are fair and just in dealing with others, whether they are from a deviant group or from another religion. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are fair and just in dealing with other people. They observe the right of Allah in dealing with people and don't just seek their own desires or the desires of their groups or their associations. They do not exploit or do wrong to others, or consider insignificant or belittle those that should be respected for whatever reason that they should be respected. As well, there's a conformity or agreement in their understanding and similarity or likeness in their position in all matters of the deen, even though they may be in distant lands or living in different time periods in history. We find that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah of the past are similar to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah of today in their position and in their displaying or exhibition of the deen. And this is one of the fruits of the fact that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah possess a single source for their deen and for their manhaj or methodology and how it is acquired. That is the Quran and Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba. They also show kindness and mercy and goodness and kindness towards all people, towards all people, not only the people of their group. And they exhibit and display sincerity to Allah and to the Book of Allah and to the Messenger of Allah and to the leaders and the general body of the Muslims. And finally, they show concern for the affairs of the Muslims and aid and support them and fulfill their rights and try to remove from them or push away from them or prevent any harm from reaching them. These are some of the characteristics or distinguishing characteristics of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we hope, inshallah, that we will benefit from these few points of introduction explaining the definition of Al-Aqidah and definition of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this is a base or a foundation that is an introduction to our study of the Islamic Aqidah, which we will take, inshallah, in the coming lecture, bi-iznillah, the first point from the book of Al-Imam Al-Sahawi, Al-Aqidah Al-Sahawiyyah, containing approximately 105 points of Islamic Aqidah, inshallah, covering the wide or the whole range of the Islamic Aqidah and whatever a Muslim needs to know. Inshallah, in our coming lecture, we'll begin with that book. And I would like to just remind everyone, whoever doesn't have a copy of that book should try to get a copy of it so that at least we may have the text of the manual that we are using. And then as we go along, we will provide some some brief explanation of each point, point by point, with the evidences concerning each point as we go along. So please, whoever doesn't have a copy of the book, please try to get a copy of it. I think the sisters have some copies over there for sale. And if there are no copies left of the original book, then whoever doesn't have a copy, we will make a photocopy for them. بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any questions from the sisters, they may send them now. If we have time, we will answer them. Or we may answer them immediately after the salat. And if there are no questions, then inshallah, until the next lesson.